Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Lots to get into as United play a gamble, I suppose. Basically, we will not be rushed. We will not overpay and we will not sign players that aren't committed to Manchester United. This sounds great from Omar Berada, but is it a bit of a risk when actually the truth is different? We need players in for pre-season. We can't sit there and do what we've done for the last 10 years. So what's the latest with Mbeumo, with people saying it could run into July? What's the latest with Gyökeres now, who's posted an Instagram post last night, funnily enough? Not the only person who went on Instagram and socials late last night. I was a little bit drunk. I'm a little bit hungover this morning. So yeah, I probably said stuff last night that I wouldn't say I didn't mean it. I just think Truth Bridge comes out after five lagers. So, yeah, I got in a bit of trouble, I think. But, yeah, say what you say, what you think, you know, sometimes. I don't think people do that enough. So we're talking about the latest about Gyökeres. Also, interesting around Xerxes' future at Manchester United, a bit of an opinion piece coming in from iPaper this morning. We've got a little bit about Emi Martinez from Fabrizio Romano as well. So, yeah, lots going on. Jay Law, big shout out. He says, I'm hungover too. Got loads of bloody members in the chat this morning. Big up the member crew. We've not got members only on, have we? No, there are people there. But shout out to Simon, Mikel, Sarath, Guy Fawkes, Stuart, Shay. Just seem to be a collection of member chats. Could see badges there. Hope everyone's doing well. Okay, let's fly into it then. So where are we at this morning? Fantastic show with Terry last night. I watched it this morning, by the way. Really enjoyed the 4 minutes in when his mic started echoing. I love it when things, technical problems go wrong with other people because it always seems to go wrong with me. Sets, cameras, everything. So where are we at this morning? Well, I want to just start off with Mbeumo very quickly. We haven't really spoke about Mbeumo much this week. James Ducker in The Telegraph is saying that Manchester United are expected to spend around 60 million on Mbeumo. And there's also another report coming in that United are confident that they'll have this deal done by pre-season. Pre-season, for anybody who doesn't know, actually is next month, obviously. And that means that if that report is true, and that's coming out this morning, United, Brentford are holding out for 60 million, and you know, we're talking about pre-season. If that's true, and remember, we're just going through the latest news at the start of the show, and then we give the opinion. If it's true that United are confident that they will get Mbeumo done by pre-season, that's a month away. So the player wants to come to United, and we're a month away from getting the deal done. That has to be about what Omar Berada said, which is this. Andy Mitten says that I met Omar Berada last week at Old Trafford and asked him if it was difficult to attract new signings, given the perception of United as a club in decline. Omar Berada shook his head, adding that he was interested in recruiting players who want to join Man United because they believe in the club, not whether they were in Europe's elite competition. He said that it wasn't difficult, and if any didn't want to come because the team aren't in the Champions League, then United probably don't want them anyway. To be honest with you, I'm not a massive fan of Omar Berada. I'm not. From what I've heard of him, from what I've seen of him, I'm not a big fan of his. I think that the jury's still out on him. And I don't think he actually understands Manchester United yet. I think he just does PR because I just think that's a big load of crap. I've never heard such crap in all my life. It's just cheerleader bollocks that we don't need. We need reality. I understand why he's saying it, but we don't want players that don't want to come to United. We don't want players that want to play in the Champions League. We don't want those players. Well, you wanted Delap. You literally wanted Delap. And he went to Chelsea because they're in the Champions League. So you're a liar there straight away. There's nothing wrong with chasing the best players and then going, actually, I'm going to choose Arsenal because they're in the Champions League. Actually, I'm going to choose Chelsea. I don't know why we get so hung up on, well, if they don't want to come here, we don't want them anyway. We do want them. We want good players. You know, there's plenty of players in the Championship that will come to Man United because we're Man United, but we want the best players. So I don't know why we get all, I don't know, I just see through the PR of it. It's like, oh, if you don't want to come to Man United, we don't want you. Well, we do. We do want you. We want to talk to you. We want to sell the project. And if you say that the project's not good enough, but fine. We've had the chance. What I'm trying to say is, Osimhen may want Champions League football? Are we going to go, well, we don't want you then. We don't want you. Have a chat. Have a chat with him and you might be able to sell the project. So that's what I mean about these lines get put out and everyone goes, United, United, United. You know, we've seen it all. We've won the lot. You know, I love all that. Of course I do. But we're also shit. We're also terrible. That Europa League final was abysmal. That last season was disgusting. We can't sit there and go, well, if you don't want to come to Man United, forget it. You know, if you want Champions League football, forget it. You've still got to have a chat with them and go, look, maybe Gyökeres wants Champions League football. Maybe Ekitike wants Champions League football. Maybe Osimhen wants Champions League football because it's the elite tournament. If I was playing football, I'd want to play in the Champions League. We cannot say, wow, if you want Champions League football, we don't want you. We do want you. We've just got to get in the conversation and try and get the best players. But with someone like Mbeumo, that is clearly what we've done. You know, he probably would. He's never played Champions League football, to be honest. But where I worry a little bit is, and some people would be saying, you know, you're going off on a tangent a little bit. It's not that deep. It is, if you stay with me. I think we've got a CEO who really believes that we're Manchester United in the sense that, you know, you should be coming here. You know, if you don't want to come here, then we don't want you. But it, what worries me about that is we've made this mistake for 10 years. And you know where I'm going with this. I'm talking about negotiations. If we're in negotiation with Brentford and Brentford wants 60 million and we're sat there going, we're Manchester United, you know, we'll wait this out. We will wait this out to pay what we want to pay because we're Manchester United. That doesn't work. We tried that with Leicester. We still paid £80 million for Harry Maguire. We tried that with Sporting. We still paid 60 for Bruno. We tried that with Dortmund. We missed out on a year and then came back the next year and still put, I mean, look at the Jadon Sancho deal. We wanted Sancho the summer before. We thought they'd lower the price. They didn't. And then a year later, we went and paid what they wanted the year before. So I just think, I hope, actually, within the football club, this whole we're Manchester United, if you don't want to be here, then we don't want you. And if you don't give us a realistic price, we'll play hardball. We're not that club. As Seb says to me when we're playing football in the back garden and I try and skin him, he'll go, you're not that guy. And we're not that club. I believe I'm that guy. And I think United have a right to believe they're that club. But where we are at the moment, I think efficiency and speed is more important than saving a few quid. And what is going to be very interesting about people like Mbeumo and Gyökeres is how quick we can get these deals done. Because I heard Jason Wilcox talking about Cunha yesterday, and he basically said, you know, he mentioned something about speed. You know, not only is this a good signing, it's great to get this deal done so early in the window. And it felt like a bit of a tap on the back. But what it needs to be is, it's not that great to get this deal done early in the window. Look at what Liverpool have done. They're on the verge of three signings. We've done one and we're miles behind Liverpool. And it worries me again that we think we've done some great business early in the window. It's not that early now. It's nearly the middle of June. So we need to get moving. I think that's the thing for me. And I think it's a risk to play hardball on deals. Like Mbeumo was coming up for 2 weeks ago now that we basically got the Ornstein, he wants to come to United. What are we negotiating? He wants to come to us. Brentford have lost their manager. They want to start something new as well. What is it we're negotiating and why is it we take so long? I think, you know, I'm not saying that it's by any means stretching too long, but the Mbeumo deal really should just get done and then we move on to the next one. We are a company, not a club. It means inefficiency and bureaucracy in all operations is baked in the cake, says Jaydeep. Hi, Mark. Love the channel. Can you call my brother Junaid a Pratt? And happy birthday, says Hamza. Happy birthday, Junaid. I'll say that. Omar Barada is... No, I'm not going to say that, Joseph. We don't need a striker, says Veghorst. City, Arsenal and Liverpool proved it. Cunha and Mbeumo bring goals. Use funds on goalkeeper and centre midfielder. Rebuild, not a title charge. Spend smart. We do need a striker. 100% need a striker. I saw an opinion. Well, let's talk about the striker situation. So Gyökeres on his Instagram last night had this to say. What was it? Let me get it absolutely correct. So the big updates on Gyökeres, really. There is a lot of talks at the moment, most of it false. I will speak when the time is right. So that was Gyökeres last night on his Instagram. Now, look, these sort of things are... Did you ever used to like go on Facebook years ago or, I don't know, bloody Friends Reunited or whatever bollocks, you know, and someone puts a post up saying, fuming, absolutely fuming. And then someone replies, you okay, hun? And they go, I'll talk to you about it later. And you go, what the bloody hell are you putting that on social media for? What are you fuming about? And then you're going to talk to somebody else about it privately. Why don't you just talk about it privately? Why are you telling us about, you know, so I think with this Gyökeres thing, you sort of like go, what's not true? What's not true? Is it not true that you didn't have talks with Arsenal? Is it not true that you want to leave Sporting? Is it not true that you're angry? You know, Fabrizio Romano has said that there is a tense situation between Sporting. But so what's he talking about when he says there's a lot of talk, but most of it's false? Romano says it's true. So what's false? Is it the fact, is it that he's turned down Saudi? Is it that, you know, he had talks with Arsenal? He's going to speak when the time is right. It feels like there's something bubbling with Gyökeres. And I think that one thing I do remember tweeting last night after a few drinks was something about what I said on Sunday. So I still feel that this is a deal that Man United can do. And it's interesting as well because even last night, Fabrizio Romano said that Gyökeres remains a target for Manchester United, who are calling on a daily basis to understand his situation and his price. That sounds like, to me, you know, just looking at the situation, all we've had this week is Portuguese outlets talking about Arsenal and Fabrizio Romano talking about Man United daily, speaking to Sporting and Gyökeres about the price. So, and that's it this week. Am I right? I'm not wrong. Am I not right? Like, that's all we, you know, that's all we have. We've got Portuguese reports and Arsenal, and then we've got Fabrizio saying that we're ringing up every day. I know if that was turned the other way, Portuguese reports saying United, but Fabrizio saying Arsenal are there every day, I know what I'd be more worried about. I'd be like, Fabrizio's talking about Arsenal. Portuguese press are talking about us. But actually what's happening is Fabrizio's talking about us. Portuguese press are talking about Arsenal. Pletigol still has, as his pinned tweet, Sesko Arsenal. I still think Arsenal are going to get Sesko. I think that's the player that they want to get. So I think when it comes to Gyökeres, it's risky. It's a game. It's a deadlock. And you know, I would acknowledge the concerns of the chat. Many people are talking about, happy birthday, Tino. And many people in the chat are talking about whether we should pivot towards Ekitike, which I've got a bit of an update as well. But this is obviously not going to happen quickly. And Mbeumo's not happening quickly. So Gyökeres is not going to happen quickly. I would hazard a guess that unless something goes like that, which it can do, the law of evidence, whatever that means, suggests that 6 weeks from now, you might have signed Gyökeres, which is the end of July. You might see him on tour if you're lucky from this point, because United take 6 weeks to do anything. So from now to the end of July, before this deal's done, based on previous dealings, which is quite a concern because it's, you know, you're going to miss pre-season. So I think that you know, there is a bit of a transfer deadlock, of course, and it is a bit of a risky game. And also, let's not forget, if it does take 6 weeks, okay, you miss most of pre-season. But what if you stay in this race and then for whatever reason, you know, Sporting dig their heels in, we're not going to sell him, it goes into August, or even worse, somebody else swoops in and pays the money that we don't want to pay. How much time have we wasted on the striker? I mean, regardless of whether we like it or not, from the start of April to the end of May, it was Delap, and he went to Chelsea. So that was 2 months gone. For June, it's Gyökeres. Now, if we don't get that deal done, you could be heading into mid-July without a striker lined up, which could be problematic. Rain says next week from Goldbridge, Mitrovic deal close. Yeah, Rain, I can't help you if you're unintelligent, because 10 years of a news show reacting to news stories. I don't drive the story, mate. It comes out from people like Gyökeres, Instagram, or Romano, what he said. I know you might struggle with it, but the clue is in what I'm talking about. You know, when I say Fabrizio Romano said this, or Gyökeres did that, that's not made up, mate. That's coming from those people that I'm saying it from. So maybe it will be Mitrovic deal close next week, but it won't be made up by me. It will be because there's a headline from Fabrizio or Ornstein. That's how it works, mate. We're reacting to the news, so grow up. But yeah, I think with regards to the striker situation, I guess we will just have to wait and see what happens with it. But I am intrigued as to how quickly this will get resolved, because we desperately do need a striker. And it's interesting, actually. I mean, I don't normally bring opinion pieces in, but there was an opinion piece this morning in the iPaper. I suppose it's news. And they were basically saying that I don't think it's come from the club. I think it was sort of like, you know, I think it's more of an opinion piece. I think they were trying to say that the club think it, but they don't. But it was basically, let's take it as an opinion piece. And it was basically saying that Man United feel that with Mbeumo, Cunha and Xerxes, it could be a really good front three. And I sort of look at it and go, no, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that Mbeumo, Cunha and Xerxes are going to get us anywhere near the top four. We need a striker. I like Xerxes. I do like Xerxes. But I think Xerxes needs to be a player that's competing with Cunha and Mbeumo and Ahmad and Mount. I don't like this false nine bollocks. That's just not the way Amrin plays. So we need a striker. We need a striker. And if we didn't get Gyökeres and we didn't get Osimhen, then I would have to accept a Mitrovic or a Mateta more than a Xerxes, because you actually do need a striker, definitely do. Interestingly as well, I don't know whether anybody, I need to catch up on some of your comments here. Welcome to Members Club, Sam. Thank you very much for joining, getting your badge in. Did you see what Fabrizio Romano said last night about Emi Martinez? Basically said that he could be an option for Manchester United this summer, Emi Martinez, Fabrizio. I think he might have said it before, but that is quite interesting because, it excites me. I like it when credible transfer journalists come out with stuff like that, because we're all very much focused on what's happening in the Mbeumo deal and the Gyökeres and striker situation, I suppose. Oh, I have got an update on Akitike as well, but the goalkeeper for me is absolutely essential, I cannot overstate how concerned I'll be next season with Onana between the sticks. He may end up being player of the year, you know, but he doesn't instill confidence into the fan base, into the manager and into the team. So changing that goalkeeper to somebody that does, I think that would be really positive. What I would say about that is, though, it's encouraging that we're being linked to Emi Martinez, because it's not even that I want Emi Martinez. It's more the fact that we're being linked to Emi Martinez, which means goalkeepers. So it doesn't mean it will be him. It's just good that we're being linked to goalkeepers. But I think we all have to accept that this would be a deal that would happen later in the window. Onana's rolling back up with his training bag, isn't he, in early July. You know, he's definitely one of the smilers walking into Carrington. Donny van der Beek FC, you know.
if you know, you know, it irritates me when I see players I don't want at the club turning back up for Carrington and all the pictures. You know, I just don't like it. But yeah, I think so. I believe Xerxes could do it, says Class of 99. We still need a striker. Yeah, I think he can fill in. But what I'm saying is, I don't want to start next season with Xerxes our number nine. I don't want that. Would you rather Højlund be backup or striker or Chido, says Goldstar. I like Obi Martin. I do really, really like him, but I actually agree with the plan that was mentioned a few weeks ago about Kone. I'm not in a rush to throw these lads in. I think we've got a terrible track record of developing young players in recent years. Nobody's been a success. Garnacho, Greenwood, Rashford, they've not ultimately ended up being a success. They've had periods where you think they're going to be generational and then it just doesn't happen. So I'm of the opinion that Kone and Obi would be better off going to the Championship for a season and doing what the likes of Jude Bellingham did, etc. You know, having a year in a really competitive team in the Championship, I think would do them the world of good. I actually think this is what Man United need to do more. I don't know why we don't loan to the Championship, really, because it's something Chelsea did a lot and it worked really, really well. And obviously the Championship is England. So I think it's better for them to go and do that than it is to play for Man United sporadically with the... I just think the expectation's so big at Manchester United. I would like to see them getting game time. Ahmad went there, Ryan, you're right, exactly. And look at Ahmad now. I think it's a subconscious thing with the fan base as well. I think if we were sat there next season and Obi's scoring goals for Preston, it's psychologically, you're like, well, he's doing it. He's doing it in the Championship. He's scoring goals. So that when he comes back to Man United and he plays, there's almost like that, well, he's already done it in the Championship. You know, it feels like it just, I think it's just a different mentality around a player that's been to another club and done it. Sam48, welcome to Members Club. Is this new signing just scammering to play Bruno and Casemiro as our pivot to be penetrated worse than Bonnie Blue and keep us 15th by Christmas, says Munradin. He's back again. Our super football journalist in Sweden, Eric, says thinks Gyökeres will sign for United and I believe in him. Nicholas, I believe in it as well. I believe... If you want a bit of info, not info, opinion. Let's call it opinion for now. I believe, in my opinion, that what has happened this week is that on Sunday, Gyökeres Man United looked really, really hot, and through the week, it's been extinguished a little bit. We've had Portuguese reports about Arsenal. We've had reports about unrest and issues around the fee. And here we are on Friday. Yet throughout that time, we've constantly been told by credible sources that United on a daily basis are asking to be kept updated. That just doesn't sound like what we would do if we didn't have an indication that we've got an opportunity here, i.e. he only wants Champions League football. We're in there. We're in this race. I personally think there's a lot. I think Gyökeres is right. There's a lot of false stories out there at the moment and the truth will come out soon. And I think the truth is United have got an idea of what they want to pay and it's not what Sporting want. So I think there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment. Like, oh, other clubs are interested, this, that and the other. I just think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors when the reality is it could just be that there's a deal there to be done, but Sporting aren't being as, you know, Sporting want more money, basically. Do you think Gyökeres is angry with Sporting because what Sporting is asking for is similar to Napoli asking for Osman, so we might go for Osman instead of him, says Kevin. Look, on the other striker options at the moment, the Eintracht Frankfurt sporting director or CEO, I can't remember which one, good club, Frankfurt as well. When I was in New York, I was doing a forum, and there was four of us on the forum talking about the industry, and one of the person sat next to me was like head of social media for Eintracht Frankfurt. So we're having a bit of a chat. Really good club. I like what they're doing. And it's a shame because obviously Mamouche, really good player, goes to Man City. Ekitike is going to go now. But they basically came out last night and said, look, the price is 100 million euros. And if we don't get it, we don't need to sell. So I think that with Ekitike, I just don't see how that's even... I know Terry was talking about it last night. I did that video last night. We always have to remember that we will obviously have a lot of stories throughout the summer that aren't true. And I just can't see how Ekitike Man United is true. I've seen all the clips that he likes Man United. I've seen the positive stuff said about Marcus Rashford. But they don't need to sell. They don't need to sell, and they want 100 million euros. I think he's overpriced. I do think he's overpriced, but I think we're outpriced. I don't think we can do that one. As for Osimhen, what did we say yesterday morning? United need two things, and it fits in with what we were talking about with Berarda. You've got to want to come to Manchester United, and you've got to set realistic wage expectations. Now, if Osimhen does that, I think United will talk. But I don't know whether Osimhen's going to do that. I don't know what Osimhen's going to do. All we know is he's turned Saudi down. He could go back. Nigel says, why aren't we in for Mike Maignan? We desperately need a goalkeeper and he's cheap with 1 year left on his contract. I like Maignan. I think ridiculously people say he's just another Inanna, in the sense that, you know, AC Milan, Inter Milan, Italian league, blah, blah, blah. If you've seen Maignan play, he's completely different to Inanna. He's actually a very good shot stopper. I don't know why Chelsea pulled out of that deal. I would take him at Manchester United. I think he's a very good goalkeeper. I think he's a good leader as well. But what I will say is the goalkeeping position at Man United is stressful. It's stressful. I've seen Dubravka play well for Newcastle. I saw him playing goal for Man United and he just air-kicked the ball. Like, the pressure is huge. Toonami Magpie, thanks for your super chat. I feel like they're showing slowing the Mbeumo deal down to make us seem active in the transfer window when we're not, says Annie. Yeah, well, look, I think this is why I would always be an advocate for pressure on the club. We make this mistake so often. Like, we start doing stuff and people go, we're having a worldie. Oh, Murtagh madness and all this nonsense. And actually, every summer transfer window we've had, we haven't had a 9 out of 10 summer transfer window in a decade. Even last year, where I liked the incomings, I think the timings were shit. Like, I liked the players that we bought last year, but when you look at the timings, they were terrible. Ugarte, De Ligt, Mazraoui, way too late. They came in way too late. Way too late. And we didn't get rid of the players that we should have got rid of. So we actually haven't had a very good summer transfer window for a long, long time. So it's always, in my mind, you judge a transfer window on August the 31st or September the 1st this year. But you will always get pockets of the fan base that start getting ahead of themselves going, oh yeah, Ineos are finally delivering. And on what? On what? What are they finally delivering on? Cunha is a good signing. We've sold nobody and we bought nobody else yet. And to be honest with you, pre-season starts in about 3.5 weeks. So, you know, we've got to keep the pressure on. They need to do more. 100%. And they can do more. I think they will do more. But, like, you know, we're not there yet. Hi, Mark. Did you do my ACL yesterday? Thanks for doing your streams every day. Gives us all something to look forward to, no matter the good or bad times. Rest up with that, Kenzo. Hope you're doing well, mate. Hamza says, hi, Mark. Love the channel. Can you please come? I've done that one. We need a striker. We don't need a striker, so of course. Ian Tracy says, if we're a month away from finalising a deal where the player wants to join us and the asking price and wages are reasonable, it doesn't bode too well, says Ian. Patrick Lynch says, is the delay because we're waiting for the new financial year? It would make sense given how things have slowed so much, says Patrick. Yes. Also, when's the next Man United kit out? I mean, Cunha being announced yesterday was not by accident. I mean, we are a commercial organisation, of course. And that makes total sense. I'm not going to ridicule the club for that yesterday. New kit comes out, Cunha gets announced officially. So I'd be looking at when the next kit comes out in relation to Mbeumo. Like, is the new kit coming out the first week of July? Is the third kit coming out at the end of July? I mean, it only becomes problematic when somebody says, let's not announce Gyökeres until the end of July when the third kit comes available. And Amrim's there going, so I'm not having 3 weeks pre-season with him so you can sell a few fucking shirts. Knobheads. So that's when it becomes a problem. But yeah, I mean, look, we probably missed that. Yes. I mean, I did tweet it, to be fair. Cunha announced officially yesterday, the day the kit comes out. So I wouldn't, I'm not saying set your clock by it, but I'm sure the away kit's coming out early July, end of June. So I'm sure there'll be something around that because it'll be a missed opportunity if not. Nicholas says they were confident about Delap too. William Jones, welcome to Members Club. Gyökeres is ours. He won't win trophies at United for years, plus he's nearly 30. Says Zane, who's an Arsenal fan. Paul, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. And Mel as well. If Onana does leave instead of Milinkovic-Savic, should we pursue Maignan, as it was rumoured he could go for 10 million? Says William Jones, another one mentioning that. Papa Green and Castiel, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for supporting the channel, by the way. If you are a new member, get your badge in. Appreciate that. Paul Govia is in the chat. Hope you're doing well, Paul. He says, it very much feels like the Glazer handbrake is on and a firm reminder who's actually running the club. I think that there is something in the fact that United will want to put some of these deals into July. The reality is that you don't have to wait until July to get here we go. Like, Cunha first payment probably won't happen until July. So, yeah, you're not wrong to say United are probably waiting until July to do some deals because it then falls into the financial year of, you know, obviously, if you don't know that there is a new financial year that starts on July the 1st and everything that you spend before that goes into that year. So this financial year that we're in at the moment's got Dorgu, Ugarte, De Ligt, Mazraoui, because they were all done post July 1st last year. So it makes sense. But just because you get a here we go and Ndirmu today doesn't mean that you have to, you could even officially, like we've just done Cunha officially yesterday. I don't think our first payment for Wolves will go in this financial year. It might do, but it might not. You know, which is interesting, actually. I've got to give a shout out to James. He messaged me yesterday about this. James Cave, who's been in the chat before, basically qualified chartered accountant and has done some work for around football clubs and football finance. Remember yesterday we were talking about, this is really interesting, actually, because I think there's a lot of mistruth and half-truth and myth around financials. So Onana's book value is around, what, 20, 30 million pounds? There are people out there that think that when it goes in onto July the 1st, his book value goes down by another year because you're into another financial year. So effectively, his book value at the moment is, let's say, 30, and on July the 1st, it goes down to 23 million because another year's gone. James, thankfully, shout out, messaged us and said that's not how it works. Book value goes down based, think of it on a monthly basis. So if Onana's got 3 years left on his contract and his book value is 30 million, each month you're gonna get 30 divided by, you know, 36, because there's 12 months in each year. So effectively the book value goes down by the month, not by the year. That's how it's done. So every month Onana is at the club, or Anthony's at the club, or Rasmus is at the club, that book value goes down by a month. So that's how it works. I think some people get confused about that. But yeah, look, what were we talking about before that? I've sort of lost myself now. Korshik says, With United wanting to be kept in the loop, could it mean there is no room to improve the bid and not just by a few million? Also, I feel United being linked to Ekotite might push Sporting asking for much more, says Korshik. We've got a great relationship with Sporting. I'm not necessarily worried about that. I think we can do a deal with Sporting. I think the concerning thing is that there's just this nonsense around Gyökeres that he's not worth what he is. There's not much more he could have done this season in relation to goals, assists and having a good season. I agree with Redhorst. We should get a keeper and a centre midfielder, Bruno 10, and Mbeumo up front. It feels like we're trying to rush instead of a rebuild. And Mbeumo up front, I just don't get this Kiel at all. I sometimes worry that people don't actually watch football. And Mbeumo's a right winger. He's not a bloody centre forward. Have you looked at Mbeumo and his build? He's just not a centre forward. That's not what he is. And he's certainly not a centre forward in the mould of what Amrin wants. Watch next season, he'll be playing up front now. Rory C says, four main attackers available, Gyökeres, Osimhen, Sesko, Ekitike. Could you rate based on ability and likelihood which one we get? Surely we get one of them. Hey, I'd be very happy with any of those four. I'll say that, Rory. Okay, Gyökeres, I would say 7 out of 10. And the most suitable for the system. Osimhen, I would say chances of us getting him are 2 out of 10, but I think he'd be very good in the system and very good in the Premier League. Sesko, I'd say 1 out of 10. Not so sure he'd work brilliantly in our system, to be honest with you. I think he suits a side that's... I think he suits a Man City or an Arsenal where they have a lot of possession around the edge of the box, probing. I think he's quite a technical player. Obviously, he's very big as well. Ekitike, I would say, again, 1 out of 10. He's a box of tricks, Ekitike, and I don't think he's, a bit like Sesko, I don't think he's completed his journey yet. I think Ekitike would work really well for somebody like Newcastle, where, you know, sometimes you're defending a lot, you're going to counter and he gets a bit of space. But also, I think he's a good player in a team that attacks a lot as well. I think Ekitike is a really interesting player. Really interesting. Like, I think he could end up being, you know, very, very special. But I don't think he suits what United need at the moment. We don't need another project. We need, sometimes, you know, everybody has different needs, don't they? Everybody has this different needs. You know, I think, I remember a mate of mine, like, he was like, when we were like late teenagers going out, you know, he was looking for, you know, somebody his own age, you know, settle down with, you know, grow together, maybe, you know, get married, have kids, go on, you know, nice holidays, this, that, and the other. Got divorced in his late 30s. What was he looking for then? You know, basically just sex, you know, somebody that was, you know, I nearly said someone to poke the fire, but I don't think he was into pegging, but yeah, you know, I don't think he was looking at building long-term bridges and relationships and travelling. I think it was like, I know what, he likes playing golf, he likes having his weekends to himself, but on an evening, someone to watch a film with, Netflix and chill. You know, you have different, what I'm trying to say is, you have different demands and, you know, go into your local supermarket tomorrow, somebody will fancy chicken fajitas for tea, someone will want a steak, someone will be vegetarian, different needs. And I think that sometimes I think people are quite naive in football in the sense that they don't realise that. Like, Ekitike is a good player, but it's not the right fit for everybody. I think he suits a Liverpool. I think he'd suit a Newcastle. It doesn't suit what we need. We need experience. And anybody that thinks we need another project up front, in my opinion, is crazy. Because look at last season. You have to put yourself back. I know it's horrible. I know it's traumatic. Therapy bridge. I want you to just, everybody take a deep breath, close your eyes, prepare yourself. I'm taking you back to February. I'm taking you back to some of them horrible results at Old Trafford. Are you there? Can you remember what it's like? Don't worry, we're not going to be here for long. We'll be here for 20 seconds max. Right, we're back at Old Trafford being took apart by teams we should be beating. Who do you want up front? Another project or a proven striker like Osimhen or Gyökeres? Yeah, me too. Right, we're back in the present. You can't start having a fantasy summer about, oh, Ekitike or Sesko, they could be a really good player. We need what we were missing last year. And what we were missing last year was experience up front. That striker who says to the people who are shooting from 40 yards, what the fuck are you doing? You know, that's what we need. Thank you to Rory. Good point. I'm scared by prima donna players. I'm scarred by prima donna players, says Sean. Jokeres spitting his dummy out and threatening to go on strike is enough for me to want another striker by default. Yeah, but we don't know that's true, Sean. We don't know that's true. Do you keep the glasses on when you do it, says Pedge. Cheers, Mark, to 41 months. Have a pint on me this weekend, says Justin. Thank you very much, Justin. 41 months a member. Potentially irrelevant, but Garnacho was on my flight from Madrid to Tokyo 3 days ago, was not in Italy, maybe shopping around Spain. I wouldn't be surprised if his family still live in Madrid, because that's where we brought him from, wasn't it? So I wouldn't read too much into what players are doing on holidays at the moment. I mean, look, if I was a Man United player after the season you've just had, I would be very, very much looking to get away and, you know, have a bit of a break. And Tokyo looks like a fantastic place to visit, by the way. I think on Garnacho, look, there's two things that we've got bubbling away at the moment. Jokeres, I'm convinced that we're very, very much in and doing stuff. And Garnacho, Napoli by the end of the month. That's sort of where I am with that at the moment. There was something else I wanted to mention. Hopefully it'll come back to me. Let me just catch up on this. Sakin, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. What's happened to Dorgeles? He's 15 million, says Ujuro. Yeah, so he's a winger who was linked to us in January at Salzburg. I think he's 22, 23. I don't think it's going to happen now, is the honest answer. I think we were looking at him, but I think when you're bringing in Mbeumo and Cunha, I don't think that then happens anymore. We've just brought a lad in from Southampton. I forget what the name is, 16-year-old. Oh, God, what was his name? Someone in the chat will know. So we are bringing in, we're still looking at that young player profile. But what I like about the summer transfer window at the moment, and I must just state we've only done one signing, is that these players are experienced players. Mbeumo, Cunha, Jokeres. JJ says, even if we get Mbeumo and Jokeres, why can I see it being a rarity to see Cunha, Mbeumo and Jokeres, all three of them in the starting lineup? Worried about Amrim's obsession with Mount. Hey, Jay. Great point, mate. Isn't Jonathan David a free agent, says Ejiria? Yeah, but no one in the Prem's looking at him again. I don't know why. We need top players to get us back to the top, says Damien. Thank you. Look, I was thinking this the other day. No manager ever really gets sacked in June, unless you're Ange, because it's all about signings. It's all about sales, isn't it? Owners get pressure in the summer because it's like, get your checkbook out. And then as soon as the season starts, that gets parked. You can't buy any players, so the pressure goes on to the manager. It's not always right. It's not always right, but that's just the cycle of football, isn't it? So when I look at what you've just said there, there is no honeymoon period for Ruben Amorim next season. There isn't. Whether I want there to be, whether you want there to be, there won't be. All that happened last season will not be forgotten. The media love to dismantle Manchester United and they'll be ready to go. And there are people in our fan base who must be quite miserable through the summer, because they really built up in the last month of the season this Amorim out movement, and they were shouting about it. And then the summer transfer window comes. You can't do a video even once a week now with Amorim out on it, because people would laugh at you. But in the last month of the season, you could do Amorim out and people would be like, yeah, good one. So they're having to be very quiet at the moment. But I don't think that has disappeared. I think that's waiting to come back with the I told you so's and everything. So Amorim isn't home and hosed. You know, he's not getting another chance. He's got to hit the ground running. And this feeds into why you need to get the players in quick, get the pre-season, hit the ground running in the season. Because you're right, he is going to do at least one thing next season, which is high risk. And that's before we know who he's going to buy. He's going to stick Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. Now, will that work? Won't it work? Let's wait and see. What's he going to do with Mason Mount? Is he going to play Mason Mount with Cunha and put Ahmad, or Mbeumo up front or right wing or on the bench? So I'm calm about this, but next season, Amrim has to get it right. And I think that I'm a massive fan of Amrim. I'll never be Amrim out, hopefully. I don't want to be Amrim out. Same as Ten Hag, same as Ollie. I don't want to be a manager out, but he hasn't got a lot of time to experiment next year. We've got Premier League games and domestic cups, and we literally have got no games next year where we can go, that doesn't matter. Whether it's Sunderland away or, Rochdale in the Carabao Cup, that these games are massive to us. We've got no leeway at all. So if he makes mistakes tactically or with team selections or favouritism, he's going to be coming under scrutiny, because I think last season was shit, but he was thrown into a bad situation. This season, you stand and deliver. It's as simple as that. I hope he's not going to... Look, all managers have their intricacies and you have to sometimes just accept it. But I hope he's not going to lose his job through stupidity and doing stuff that clearly isn't going to work, because you lot have watched Man United a lot more than he has. And I'm not saying any of us know more than Amrim. He's a fantastic coach, but he's got to learn the ways of Manchester United and the Premier League very, very quickly. And look, the guy could be a bloody genius. He could be a genius. Maybe this Bruno in the midfield is going to work. But I think there's a lot he's got to get right. But the more options he's got, the better. You know, if he doesn't get the players in, then he's going to have mitigating circumstances. Why aren't we selling anyone, says Tino? Because it's early days, mate. It's early days on that. To be honest, at the moment, the only player that's going to bring any money in is Garnacho. Rashford, as I said yesterday, where's he going to go? And if he holds out for Barcelona, we won't make any money. Antony, we're not going to make any money. Rasmus, if he goes, we won't make any money. Onana, if he goes, we won't make any money. There's one player that we're going to make money on, and it's Garnacho. Which is why some people wanted Bruno to go, because it was pure profit. Pure profit sales. People say, who's going, who's going, who's going. The only pure profit sales we're going to make are going to be Garnacho, and then people like Lindelof and Eriksen, where we get their wage back. There's not a lot of pure profit to make. Jacob says, may you and everyone here have a blessed day. That's a lovely message, Jacob. Hope you're doing very well. We need top players to get us back to the top. Thank you very much, Damien. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. You've helped me with my hangover, which it's not that bad. It's not that bad, actually. It's okay. But look, let's see what today brings. 2 o'clock show, Friday night, 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that. But enjoyed the show this morning. I hope you did as well. I just don't want, and I said this to you yesterday, I do not want the next 3 weeks of June to drift into nothingness. And United have done this so many times where they go, it's stony June, we're really relaxed, blah, 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 we're really relaxed about what's happening. But you can't say that when you're a club that, I understand it if you're Arsenal and you only want a striker and a winger. But we need so much. We're not the same as everybody else. We can't sit there and go, we're really relaxed, it's only June. Everybody knows we need the players for pre-season. And everybody knows we need about 5. So we do need to move a little bit quicker, I think. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Take care. Speak to you in a bit.